Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Joshua chapter 5, if you would turn there this morning. Joshua chapter 5. All right, it says in verse 1, Joshua chapter 5, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on this side of on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. I want to pray one more time. God, would you bless this morning? Clear my thoughts, lead me, Holy Spirit, help me to preach what you'd have me to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have some great days in front of us. I'm standing in front of you right now. I know maybe, unless you're a preacher or you've been called on to preach, you don't know what I'm experiencing right now. I'm all ready to preach what I'm ready to preach. I got it. I've studied it all up. I've been preaching this series through Joshua, and it might be that I'm going to end up preaching that. I don't know. But between Sunday school and church, something happened where God, I think it's God, the Holy Spirit leading. I'm up here. Fighting the Spirit of God and cramming into my mind what I'm supposed to preach during the song service, and it ain't going in there. I don't know if you've got a mind like that or not, but it ain't happening. I got my notes in front of me, but it's like God saying, no, not there. So I stand before you this morning, the hundreds of people that are here, in fear and trembling, knowing that I want and you want to hear from heaven. That's right. And I thought I knew what I was supposed to preach. How many ever did those extemporaneous speeches in high school? You were scared to death when you went up there. You better be feeling sorry for me right now, all right? I'm not exactly sure where God is going to take this. I do know what he wants said. I don't know if he wants it said the way I had planned on saying it. I know that this is harvest time. I know that souls are in the balances. I know that we are going somewhere. I know we're going somewhere big. But I also know this, we need God. And God is big. And the children of Israel are about to enter into the land of Canaan. That's the context of chapter 5. God has prepared them. The old generation is gone because they didn't have any faith. Don't be part of that generation. The new generation has come. Joshua and Caleb have already led them over the River Jordan. And by the way, that was a miracle. Now they're encamped and they're waiting on God. They know that there are fortress cities in the land of Canaan, and they need to conquer those cities. But they're waiting on God. Before they even take on the first battle, which is the Battle of Jericho, they need to enter onto holy ground. That's what chapter 5 is about. I trust, and it kind of is like I'm standing in front of you this morning, and I got this crackerjack message ready to preach, and God just keeps saying, nope, not there. Okay, so let's read just a little bit, and we'll see where it goes. And by the way, Friend Day is coming up. This might be what this is all culminating with. Friend Day is coming up, and we're going to try to get 800 people on the grounds here on Friend Day. In order for that to happen, that will take God. Amen. It'll take God. We've been over 600 people, and that took God. In order to have 800 people, it is definitely going to take God. And I want to prepare as a church, as the pastor and as the people, I want to prepare to entering into the promised land, to taking specifically the city of Jericho. 800 people, that will be amazing. But I want you to get a little bit of vision. Just like the people of God were given the vision of Canaan land, the promised land, it was going to be theirs. All they needed was a little bit of faith. All they had to do was follow God. That's all they had to do. Just as the same is true with the Eastern Upper Peninsula. In Chippewa County, there are 38,000 plus people. And Mackinac County, last I counted, 10,800 people with the last census. In Luce County, 6,500 people. That's a little over 55,000 people in this tri-county area. And like it or not, we're right smack dab in the middle of it. And God has called Fundamental Baptist Church for this hour and this day in which we live. And his son is coming soon. And he's expecting us to be faithful. I'm telling you that souls are in the balance. I'm telling you that eternal souls are teetering on the brink of hell. Some of their lives are ending even this day as we gather together in the church house. Someone has got to tell them of Jesus. That brings us to our job here as a church. Now, this morning I preached over at the fairgrounds in the grandstand. It was a pretty good crowd. We had two people saved. Thank you for praying. Some of you were there. Thank you. Thank you for being there. Then I come over here to Sunday school, completely confident what I'm going to preach this morning. And then during the Sunday school lesson, I could feel God kind of changing directions. Then I shook some hands after Sunday school and went into my office, and God said, "You're not going to preach what you think you're going to preach." So here I am this morning, standing in front of you like a tongue-tied idiot, but I'm going to give it to you, all right? Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on this side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites." If you're here right now and you want to go to heaven, but you don't know if you're going or not, I want you to know that there's Jesus who went to the cross. He died and he had sin all over his body, even though he was not a sinner. And he died, and then he rose again. He was alive. It might be that you're here this morning and you're not born again. I invite you to the Savior. Bow your heads just a moment. If you're here and you're not sure of heaven and you'd like to be born again, I invite you to come to Jesus. Ask him to be your Savior. You'd say, "Pastor, I don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to be saved." Here's what you need to do. I normally preach 30 minutes. I normally spill out the truth and tell people of Jesus. I want you to know this morning, there's a God in heaven that's willing to save you. And you just need to come to him. Right here in the auditorium, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, call out to him right now. Just pray like this: "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. So I'm trusting you right now for salvation. You alone for heaven. And Jesus, thank you for giving to me eternal life. I know I'm scattered this morning. That's of God." Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And you'd say, "Pastor, I prayed just now, best way I knew how. And I asked Jesus to save me. I ask him to come into my heart and I ask him for forgiveness of sins. And I want to acknowledge that this morning. But I trusted Christ just now in prayer." And you'd slip your hand up and say, "Please continue to pray for me. I prayed now and received Christ. Now I want to live for him." Would you slip your hand up anywhere in the auditorium? God bless you. Anyone else? Say, "Man, I've been struggling, preacher. That thing called salvation, I don't know. But I did pray this morning and asked Jesus to save me." You may put your hand down. Others, you'd raise your hand and say, "Pray for me. I prayed this morning and I did ask Jesus in my heart. I did. Okay, let's bow together in prayer. God, thank you for that one that's come to you. And Lord, we pray that you would help all of us to live for you and live right for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 2 says, "And at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make the sharp knives, circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins." And this is the cause of why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. And the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they had obeyed not the voice of the Lord. By the way, make sure you're obeying God, unto whom also the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that flowed with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up from the or in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. They were consecrated to God. They made themselves separated and available to God. If we are going to get on holy ground, we must do the same thing. Well, we confess our sins. We get it right with God. I don't know where your life is right now. I don't know what it is you're struggling with, but you give it to God, that you'd surrender. And I wonder, as I preach this morning, how many of you in recent past have got on your knees and confessed sins to God? Or are you just letting them pile up? In order for them to enter into the land of Canaan and defeat the Canaanites, and I believe there were 31 battles, in order to win the land, they needed to be clean. And so many of them were not. And some that thought they were not. And how long has it been as a child of God that you got on your knees? A lot of people don't do that anymore because we're a proud generation. But you got on your knees and you confess your sins, plural, to God. You talked to God. You told him you're sorry for the things that you have said and the places that you have gone and the thoughts that you have had and the impressions that you gave and the things that you didn't do that you knew he had called you to. That needs to happen. We need to consecrate before God. Let's pick up reading with verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt, the shame of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day. Gilgal means rolling away. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. Now, wait a minute. They're about to do a great thing. They're about to win at battles that mankind said they could not win. There are thousands of people in the county in which we live. 38,000 plus people in Chippewa County. In Mackinac County, 10,800 people in Mackinac County. In Luce County, 6,500 people. I've got to tell you, the majority of the people that you and I rub shoulders with have no knowledge of God. They have never been born again. We are in that land, that wilderness, that land of Canaan that's supposed to be conquered and taken for God. So in order to do so, they get right with God. In order to do so, they make sure that they are circumcised. Verse 9 says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of this place shall be called Gilgal unto this day. Gilgal means rolling away. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the corn, the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. God is providing. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. God, they were consecrated and now they're celebrating and God is taking care of them. Celebrate, I encourage you this morning, celebrate the bigness of God in your life. Understand, just recollect, just a little bit, quietly in your own heart, all that God has provided for you. Amen. How many of your children are born again? How many of your grandchildren are born again? How many times has God provided for you in life when you didn't know where to turn? Over and over again. And then we get thoughtless and we get full of ourselves and we start living life and we think we're doing it all when all along God is watching over us and God is providing us. We need to celebrate the presence of God. We need to celebrate and worship the goodness of God. Verse 12 again says, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. We need to eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan. God supernaturally provides for us when we are in need. And God meets our need. But I'm telling you, God is desiring other people to get saved. I think we're the largest church in Chippewa County, but I'm telling you, there are a lot more people unsaved than saved. And God has got big things planned for Fundamental Baptist Church, but we got to get to that place where we're being fed. We're being fed directly by the hand of God, and we're no longer trusting in our own means and what could possibly happen. So they celebrate, they worship. It opens the great struggle that was found in Israel at this time among the Hebrews. This is an act of devotion to be part of the family of God. We're saved by grace. We owe Jesus everything. We need to celebrate the bigness of God and understand He meets our every single need. Look at the very next verse, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that's the first city. It's a walled city. I don't know what you're facing in life. There's something before you. We've got Friend Day coming up. We're going to try to break 800. That's a big hurdle. It'll never happen unless God does it. Amen. Unless we surrender to Him. I'm trusting we will. It came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Boy, he didn't know what he was asking. It's a Christophany here, an appearance of Jesus. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Amen. Getting ready for a soul harvest. God often comes to us in the middle of duty, in the middle of being faithful. Yeah. Joshua doesn't even recognize him as the Son of God. How could he? And he draws his sword and said, are you for us or are you for our enemy? Are you one of us or are you an enemy? And notice how he answers. He didn't answer it at all. He said, I'm captain of the Lord's host. Joshua falls on his face. I hope you've been there. I hope you know what it is to be in the presence of God. In order to get great things from God, we need God. We don't need man. We don't need phoniness. You don't need me. I don't need you. We need God is who we need. We don't need money. We don't need the wherewithal that the world provides. We need God. In order to reach 800 people on this Friend Day that we have coming up, it's going to take God. It's going to take the supernatural. I know I'm not completely exegeting this scripture, and I'm not preaching what I planned on preaching. I understand that. But there's some great truths and great golden nuggets in this passage. And for some reason, God just kind of leading me over that. It's out of my mind right now. But I know this. There is a great day coming. If we will be faithful to God, there will be people saved on Friend Day that right now are never dreaming of coming to this church. Never dreaming of being confronted by God, the Holy Spirit, the Savior, and what He's done for mankind. We need to understand that there's a God in heaven. So let me read again the last two verses of chapter 5. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Needs to be a whole lot of worship going on today. And said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? What do you want me to do? He worships. He falls on his face. There's no room for Joshua. You say, wait a minute. He's a captain of the nation Israel. He's not the big shot. He understands he's in the presence of God. If we could just understand, there's a God in heaven who is holy, Jehovah Jireh. He provides. He's bigger than any church on this earth. He's bigger than any groupings. He's bigger than any denomination. If we would just understand, he's bigger than Chippewa County and Mackinac County and Luce County in the state of Michigan. And if we would just allow him to be who he is, Joshua does. He falls on his face. He gets as low as he can. And he says in verse 14 again, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And by the way, in order to break 800 people in September, I think it's on the 18th, 15th, I don't know, whatever Friend Day is, that Sunday, in order for that to happen, we need to be following the one and only Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord's hosts. Amen. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. There'll be all kinds of other things to do that Sunday, that weekend. You can count on it. All kinds of things are going to go wrong in your household, or in your extended household. You can count on it. But we need to recognize him as God. What saith my Lord unto his servant? This is Joshua. He's worshiping. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, this is a Christophany. He's at the feet of Jesus. Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. The presence of God. You know, at independent Baptist churches, we like to have fun, but we worship. We like to laugh. We love to sing the songs of the saved. We love to testify, but we worship the living God. And we cannot stop. We cannot cease to understand this. God is holy. Amen. He's holy. We got to quit bringing him down to our culture and where we live. He came to this world willingly. He came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose again on the third day after shedding his blood. He took my place and he took your place in death. Then he left, he ascended onto heaven, and then he gave the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who came, and the church was born on the day of Pentecost. And here we are, right at the end of the church age, and he's coming again. He's still holy. Amen. He is still holy. If he were here this morning, we'd fall on our faces before him, because he is a holy God. And he's called us to a great, great work. I want to say this again. Joshua was visited by God. And his eyes were open. God is getting ready to visit this earth again. He's coming for the church. But before he comes for the church, he is here in the church by way of his people. And he's just looking for a church who will understand that and turn their back on their sin and sell out to God. He's looking for a church that knows what worship is. He's looking for a church that knows what saying goodbye to the fleshly culture is and knows it hasn't arrived and a desire to be more and more like Jesus every day and more surrendered every single day. Look at the first two verses of chapter 6. And by the way, Joshua capitulates. He surrenders. He gives up. He's impressed by this mighty one, the angel of the Lord, who is none other than a Christophany. It's Jesus Christ himself. And he understands that he is on holy ground. Israel has been promised the promised land. But he understands he is in the presence of a holy God. Visited by God. And his eyes were open. Now he is called by God to take a step of faith. He's a military man. He's already got faith. He's one of that generation, the previous generation, Joshua and Caleb, and then the new generation that actually crossed over the River Jordan miraculously as the Ark of the Covenant went before them and waited in the middle of the river. And the river parted and the waters piled up, heaped up on one side and flowed down river on the other side, and they crossed over the River Jordan on dry ground. They took those stones and they made a memorial. They worshiped God. They honored God. They fulfilled the covenant of circumcision that they were supposed to do, and none of them had done it. So they'd gotten their hearts right with God. They're ready to go. It's the day before. There's Jericho, a great walled city. That's next Sunday morning's message. Man, how people are going to lose their lives in this epic battle. Thousands, I think it was 610,000 is the estimate for the Jews that day. They cross over the River Jordan. They're encamped. They're looking at Jericho. And Joshua goes off by himself. And there Jesus meets with him. He recognizes him as the Son of God. And he falls down on his face before God. That's what's needed for revival. A lot of Christians aren't even serious about their own sin. I wonder how many in this auditorium this morning have ever got prostrate before God, confessing personal sins. If the walls of Jericho in this world are going to fall, it's going to take a consecrated people depending on the work of God, the Holy Spirit, all going back to Calvary, what God the Son did for you and for I. It says in verse 1 of chapter 6, man, I didn't preach anything I planned on preaching this morning, but let me look at verse 1. And Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. They heard. Man, they heard how the River Jordan dried up, how all the waters passed down and the waters heaped up on the other side, and miraculously the Ark of the Covenant, and here they come across the way, all the men of war and the people of Israel, and about 610,000, I think, about 610,000 warriors, they're ready to do war against all these fortress cities in the land of Canaan. They don't know it, but that land's been promised to Israel. It says in verse 1, it says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none went in. They're about to be besieged. They heard about how they got over the River Jordan, how a miracle took place, how the waters literally heaped up on top of themselves and they passed over on dry ground. They heard about the Ark of the Covenant, how God was in their presence and nobody got wet feet. Man, a miracle of miracles. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, great walled city, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. We won't get into the battle plans. That'll be next week. And what God did. But we are called of God to take a step of faith. And if we will take a step of faith, God will bless and there will be Jericho's fall before us. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how much time we have left. I don't think we have much time left. I believe that Jesus is coming very soon. I know that even looking at the timeline and Bible timeline, how things set up, man, we're at the end of the 2,000 years. He could come today. He could come before the next syllable comes out of my mouth. He might not come for another decade, but he's coming very, very soon. And we need to be ready for the battle. We need to honor God and not capitulate to the world, but surrender to God, the mighty one of Israel, and he'll do a great work in our midst. So I'm telling you this morning, man, I had a good message here to preach. I wish I got to preach it, but I'm telling you here this morning that God is looking for a people who will be faithful. God is looking for a people, it may only be 100 strong, just like what's here in this church this morning, who will surrender. We are the last generation. Jesus is coming soon. We need to get off our blessed assurance and do something for God. 1864, President Lincoln, Civil War, war between the states. It's not going well. The North has the better generals as far as education, but it's not going well. The North has bigger numbers, more industry, but it's not going well. General Meade was the head of the Union troops. He was a good West Point general. He was not a good war general. He was too passive. Afraid to take chances. Abraham Lincoln called on the man that graduated last in his class at West Point, Ulysses S. Grant. But he was bold as a lion. He was a mover and a shaker. And he put him in charge of the Union troops. And Grant won the war. Grant was bold. Grant trusted, no doubt, the supernatural leading he received from God. And here we are in the Church of Jesus Christ. And we're at the end of the church age. And God is looking for a people who will be bold. I'm telling you, God has great things planned. I don't know if it's going to be we'll be raptured before it gets complete, but I'll tell you where Fundamental Baptist Church is going. If the Lord tarries long enough. If not, we'll be in our saddle and we'll be serving God. We'll be fighting the battles right in the meantime. I can see an auditorium of 800 people over here across the parking lot. Say, preacher, we don't have any money. We've never had any money. We don't have any debts either. God takes care of us. We don't have a mortgage. God just takes care of us. You say, well, what about this auditorium here? I can see a center aisle down here, ceilings lowered, and I can see this being Maplewood Baptist Academy. I can see a 700 or 800 seat auditorium over there. It's just going to take a little bit of faith. We got to get across the River Jordan. We got to get into the land of Canaan. I understand, and I'm not underestimating God the Holy Spirit, that if we will be faithful to him, understand we're strangers and pilgrims in this world, and we'll step out and we'll just follow God. How about we do something novel and just follow God? What does God want? What does God want in your life? What does God want in your family? What does God want in this church? I know this. He doesn't want thousands of people going to hell all around us. And I also know this. He isn't looking for a group of people to play church. He's got a lot of those. He wants somebody that knows God means what he says and says what he means. I guess that's the message.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.